Good evening and welcome to the Trundlecast, our attic-based bizarre After Dark delve into Trundle Manor, the twisted tourist trap full of mysteries and creations beyond your wildest nightmares. So call over your pet vulture and settle into your most uncomfortable dental chair, because it's time to share a few secrets.
All right, it's time for Velda's Movie Trivia Vault, where I will throw out an obscure bit of old movie trivia for all you listeners at home. And this week's question is, which silent movie features a street gang of Civil War veterans trying to stop a greedy streetcar company from running the last horse-drawn cab service out of business? So think on that question, and at the end of the show, I will come back to you with the answer.
I am Mr. Arm, and with me, as always, is the lovely...
Velda Von Minx.
And this is the thing.
This is the thing.
Here's the thing.
Is this the thing?
The thing is...
This is the thing.
This is the thing. We're gonna cover a few things that happened at Trundle Manor this week, and we had some interesting guests come and join us.
We did.
We had Andrew the Impaled drop in.
Oh, he's an old friend.
Very unexpectedly.
Yeah, it's funny when people show up to the door like that. It doesn't happen very often. You didn't recognize them at first, did you?
No, I didn't. I got to check the one of the very many Trundle cams that we have lying around.
Yeah.
And I just saw this strange bearded little troll that did not resemble Andrew to me at all.
Well, we were in the middle of a business meeting that was very important, and the doorbell rings, and a friend shows up. So we just let him in and started drinking instead.
Speaking of that meeting, yeah, the meeting was with our... new good friend, Bernard Ranjac, who was on his first podcast.
Yes, the old Frenchman who's been helping us with our business.
Yeah, and speaking of, Toronto Manor also discusses on this podcast our big shop project.
Yes, that's we have a lot of things in store.
Yeah, that's our major business plan that we're trying to put out there into the world. Helping us also, and part of the crew of that project.
Oh, part of our
is,
main crew.
One is the very lovely Polly.
Or Wilhelmina von Trundle, as she goes by as well.
She's Trundle Manor's sloppiest bartender.
And our most beloved.
But she sat in on the whole crew, and you'll get to have a slight interview interlude with her as well.
I feel like she'll be ending up on many of our podcasts, I think.
Yeah, she's...
She's a staple in our household.
She finds a way in.
She does know the way in. She's been invited in.
But this week wasn't super filled with Trundle-based things. It was just sort of planning stuff. I think we've been planning a lot of things this week.
It's been a lot of planning. It's been a lot of tours and a lot of, you know, just in-between time, I suppose.
Yeah. You know, the problem is right now that we're not drinking.
Yeah.
I realize that.
God damn it, that is the problem.
Because when I was listening back to some of our first podcast...
It ran a lot smoother, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot of sips.
Yeah. Oh.
Somehow that added to it.
Punctuated by sips, was it?
Yeah. Trundle breaks, I think I called them.
I like that.
While I was drinking.
Highly accurate.
Yeah. Now we sound a little bit more like an NPR special.
Ugh.
Well, it's not too bad.
Too.
At least they have some production value.
Yeah, I guess. Do you want me to get us some drinks? Is that...
Could you get me some sweaty balls?
Ugh. I think you have your own.
Which, never mind.
Yeah, let's
continue.
Let's not.
Enjoy this brief interlude. Picking up where we left off a few days ago, and it just got to be midnight, and we got mad at each other, and it was just the end of our podcast.
We were just tired of being awake at that point.
For that moment. And now, we're kind of hungover, so...
Or in my case, ridiculously hungover.
You get to listen to what comes from Trundle Manor's hard living.
Yeah, we had some friends over last night that made us... They said they were bringing copious amounts of rum, and they did not disappoint.
No, they did not. They had a few different ones.
Yeah. Oh.
Really?
Fuck.
Oh, here we go, folks. I'll put this on the air. Hello, Trundle Manor.
Hi. Would you be able to take a party of two for a tour? Sometime
after 3:30, 3:45? No, today we are unfortunately completely filled up.
Thank you.
Sure, no problem. Bye. I don't know if the podcast picked that up, but that is a good example of why you should try to book your at least your weekend tours a little bit in advance.
Weekends fill up so quickly.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea to at least try, because sometimes there are openings and sometimes, you know, we don't have anything planned and we feel up to it, you know.
Yeah, because we need the money. Like at least half a day off sometimes too, but yeah, we could always use the money, sure. That's what he goes through, by the way, all the time, all day long, getting phone calls, and especially on weekends.
Yeah, I do most of the booking, and Velda does most of the actual tours.
Right.
But I think that's like our little trade-off, and I try to keep the house clean.
So. Yes.
That's part of it, too. I'm the prepper, and she's the face.
Yeah, he does the dishes and makes sure the cat didn't poop all over the rug while I'm in my dressing room putting on another slathering of makeup.
I think it kind of has to be that way, because a lot of people really... I almost feel like they get a little put off by me at times. And not that I'm not being, you know, cordial and happy and friendly with them. I just feel like sometimes they're easier to open up to you.
I think for a while when we were giving tours together, you had this whole showman type exuberance and behind this curtain is blah. And people, I think, I don't know if they just feel like they're getting tricked or something, or people don't take kindly to that sort of thing, where I'm more... Hey guys,
so
check out this awesome shit.
That, and I didn't pick up on
I don't know.
That.
I like it.
You told me once to not do that, and I got really upset.
No, I like it myself. And I am one of those people, I like the old timey stuff, and I think it's cute, and I like having a show put on for me. But I think a lot of people are socially awkward, and they don't know how to necessarily respond to that.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. That's on them, you know.
Yeah.
You do a great job. You're great at what you do. You're a character, and I love that. But I think people, I don't know, I can pick up on people's awkwardness sometimes, and I get on their level, which I don't know if that makes me less theatrical or, you know.
It does.
Whatever, if that, you know,
I feel like it makes you less... No, I don't think it sucks. I think it makes you less theatrical, but I think it makes you more relatable for them.
So, right.
So that might be why they're into it. Because I think people like Trundle Manor because, you know, they don't have to get fancy to come here or something.
Yeah, I mean, we like it when they do, but at the same time, it is our house and they are, you know, having a day trip.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, I think that works out pretty well. But again, I think that's why you do better at the tours. But also, you know, it's easier coming from a woman as opposed to, you know, a guy.
I guess
sometimes.
So. Yeah.
Sometimes we're a little putting off.
I don't know which one of us scares kids more, though, because I see a lot of them. We're put awful. No, because I feel like, I don't know if kids would be scared by your exuberance, but you're better with children than me anyway.
Kids like me for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again,
I have a few kids that like me.
I think that's why kids like the house, for the same reason that kids like me, because they like the idea that it's almost like they're being in a movie.
Yeah, they're like they walk into a cartoon or something.
Yeah, a cartoon. Yes, yeah. I'm a cartoon.
There's no shame in that.
That's supposed to be your job, not mine.
I'm more than happy to be a cartoon.
I'm a cartoon villain. That's okay.
Yeah.
So picking up, we had to do, you know, we had a few tours to do. We had our friends come over. And it is the end of the week. It is a Sunday at Trundle Manor.
Yes.
So this is between tours that we're podcasting. And what are we doing? Oh, one of the major projects that I'm working on is that I want to start now.
Which one?
You know, now that Perkins, my manservant, is done.
Yes.
I'm going to start working on that little girl's peg leg.
Oh, that's right.
I met this young girl at...
Renaissance Fair.
At a Renaissance Fair. And she had a fake leg. That was, you could completely tell it wasn't a prosthetic, it was a peg leg she had.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad, but
we were all dressed like pirates at the time. It
you
was
could tell that they just threw it together, but yeah.
We were very impressed with her, though, because she was the most authentic of anyone there.
So I had to go up to her, and I have some fascination with specifically women that could pull off a prosthetic that isn't a prosthetic. So a hook hand or a peg leg. Or I think that's hot to some extent, but I also think it's just kind of cooler.
Yeah. You know?
Like, I wasn't looking at her as it's hot. I just thought it was kind of a cool thing to see.
Yeah, well, she
like
was like 15.
It was nice to see a young girl that was, you know,
confident enough to pull it off. She's fantastic.
Yeah, and she's real nice. So she came to the manor a while ago with her family, and we talked about what, you know, what I might be able to do and what she wanted. And
she wanted something elaborate. She said she likes the ornately carved Victorian wooden type things. She wants something old-timey for every day.
So I might actually, Dad has a bunch of carving tools that I might try to pick up just experiment with.
Yeah.
And see if I can carve, and I might just do, you know, some filigree all over
that
the wood.
Like what
but I finally bought the wood, so that was the first step. That's what was holding me back. Because I was doing all these other projects. But the wood shop where we go to buy fancy wood is, what is that, McKnight? That's not McKnight Road.
I don't think I've ever been there with you.
That's out. I don't remember. Anyway, but it's kind of far out, and I never have any reason to go to that part of town.
Yeah.
So we just haven't done it, so I didn't pick up the project, but Dad was headed out there, so I found two really cool complementing woods that I'm gonna turn on a lathe and then carve into, and I think I'm gonna have a brass discussion that's gonna be between the two.
Oh, very cool. She'll like that.
Yeah, and then we'll make a leather wrap that goes around her stump or what's left. And,
yeah.
You know, to do it old style. Because I talked to her, and she has this special stump. And she could stump cover that she could put on that has a point coming out of it. So she could have.
It kind of locks in. There's
yeah,
like a locking.
She could have made it so it just snaps into that. But she wanted, you know, I think she wanted the whole actual authentic peg leg. So yeah. Like when she puts it on a shelf, it looks like it just fell off of a pirate ship.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's fantastic. What I'm going to try to give to her. So this is, you know, I'm not charging or anything, but you know, it's kind of an altruistic project that I'm working on. But
yeah.
It's also something that is. I think it'll benefit the manor and us.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to take all kind of in-progress pictures and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a thing that we both do. I mean, we have our day jobs. And
that's
we
something
have
that we don't
the
do
manor.
Is
well,
take in-progress.
Something we should do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't mean the progress pictures. I mean doing commissions for people.
Yeah.
Because I'm a costumer, and he can make anything he wants. So sometimes we will get people that ask us things. I just finished making, it's not nearly as cool as that, of course, but it was a robe for a professional wrestler. It was the old-time satin-style robe with his name on the back in sequins, which is not really my thing at all. So I had to make something less theatrical and ridiculous and historical, but
it turned out really good too. I almost want one for myself though.
Yeah, it was one of the most professional looking things I ever made.
Yeah.
So it was very she's gonna tell the girl who commissioned it is gonna tell her other wrestling troupe people, so I may have a rash of those happening.
Yeah.
Well, I'm fine with that.
And you might have another project coming up that we can't talk about, but that's pretty intense. So
yes.
At some point maybe we'll be allowed to talk about that one. So.
Yeah, maybe once it's all said and done and we get the permission. But yeah. It's very exciting. Another phone call.
Got another phone call. Hold on, everybody. Hello, Trundle Manor.
Yes, good afternoon. We are waiting on... We don't know how to get in.
Oh, shoot. Okay. We'll be right down.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Was that the 3 o'clock tour that said they were going to be ultra late?
Yeah, I guess that was the tour that was going to be ultra late. Now they're a minute early, and we must have not heard the doorbell. That was on you. That was on you. I have my headphones on. I can't hear anything. Anyway, so you go ahead down. I'll finish wrapping up, and if you want, maybe we can pick up a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Love you.
Love you.
Good tour. Bye. Okay, well, we're back for a little bit longer, and Velda just came back from the tour, very excited.
Yeah, this was one of the best tours I've ever given, I think. It was this happy, blonde, little American family, and the dad was just so exuberant. I'm really glad this was not the tour I gave when I was super hungover and sitting down for part of it. But no, they finally bought the Lego Trixie kit, which excited me more than anything. We actually went to the trouble of ordering Lego parts to make a tiny version of Trixie, because you made one.
Mm-hmm.
You made a fantastic, you know, model.
I made 6 different ones, and this was the one that I thought would be, like, the coolest and the most cost-effective set that we could offer.
And they loved everything. They loved Lego Trixie. He said, are people insane not buying this? And I said, yeah, they are.
Well, that's the first one that we sold, even though there were a few people in the Drundle group that said that they'd be interested in it. We still haven't sold any to them.
You know, people always say that stuff.
But you can't hold it against them, though. They do support us in lots of different ways.
Absolutely.
So whatever. But
sometimes those are the best tours to give, though. You know, like I love talking to like-minded people and artists and weirdos and whatever. Mm-hmm. But just the happy little American families going, you know, on a roadside attraction.
Right. I still say that my favorite tour that I was ever a part of was that group that was on their way to Boy Scout camp.
Yeah.
They were 3 chubby people, a mother and a father, and all wearing glasses, and this chubby little kid, and they stopped in Pittsburgh just for Trundle Manor.
Yeah, they were going to Boy Scout camp, and we were, I guess, a stop in the middle or something.
Yeah, that's when I decided that we're officially a tourist trap.
Yeah.
when those people came about. But I'm glad that you got to sell Lego Trixie. Everybody make sure to, I think we're going to try to put that on Etsy soon.
We really should.
And have that for sale on the website. And it's got online instructions that you can download once you get it and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of cool. And I'm super excited.
Good. Now we can eat. Yay.
Yeah.
And buy our Legos so we can eat lunch.
Yeah. So we're going to go and get some Chinese food from down the street right now after that wonderful tour.
Yes.
Do you want to say anything else about that?
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay. And maybe we'll come back with our good friend Polly, who's coming over for a business meeting.
Yes.
Maybe we won't. Either way.
Tell her not to make us drinks.
Yeah. Well, maybe just one each.
Yeah, hair of the dog. That'd be fine.
Yeah, because that's how we perk up on this Trundle cast.
Yes.
I feel like we're so incredibly fucking standard and non-sweary and just like not into it right now.
We get more animated when we're inebriated.
Yeah. I hate to say that's our personality, but to some extent, I suppose, it's kind of there.
Yeah, is that sad that we need booze to be social?
Oh, it's very sad.
But that's everyone, though. We just admit it, though. We're just honest.
I think that's one of the pinnacle things of AA is that your life is sad without booze.
Those people were sad already. We went to an AA meeting once to support our friend because he legally had to, and it was just the saddest, awful. We thought it was going to be kind of. We said we're going to play characters. We planned to be.
We felt bad playing characters because everybody was so depressing.
I know. We said we were going to have fun with it. We were going to pretend to be hillbilly brother and sister and like start kissing each other during the middle of the meeting. I don't know why. That's really kind of cruel now that I think about it. But it was just. It was a very sad experience. There's grandmothers that smoke crack and things. Ugh.
I don't know what the hell we expected out of that.
We're sadistic people. I think
we live in the movie way too much, and we think that like every drunk is just this happy drunk that's forced.
W.C. Fields, that's for sure.
You know, and so we kind of kept to ourselves a little bit during that meeting and kept it a little
low key, I guess.
Yeah, as much as we could.
And then we just went home.
Sadly, went home, and I think we had a drink after that too.
So yeah,
that was fun. All right, so we'll maybe pick this up again for all you Trundlephiles out there. We're going to take yet another Trundle break and get right back to you. Goodbye. News. We interrupt this Toronto cast to bring you a very important news bulletin. With us today in the studio is one of our scientists. Doctor, could you tell us what is going on at Trundle Manor today?
And today we've got some horrible cockroaches that have escaped from my laboratory. I fitted them with their own exoskeleton to attach to their already awesome exoskeleton. And now they've got human femur bones, and they're stomping around Trundle Manor, making all kinds of noise during the tours. So make sure that if you hear stompings during the tours, that you remember that it is just a harmless cockroaches. As they have accidentally gotten out and may be eating one of the members of the manor upstairs. Don't worry, though. You're downstairs, and you're not being eaten.
Thank you very much, Doctor. We're going to keep an ear out for cockroaches with giant shoes on their feet. I'm going to return these folks back to the Trundle cast, where we already have in progress the discussion of the world. Oh, don't tell me this is the world's cutest... The world's cutest kitten contest. Or, you know, John, you keep horrible notes and I cannot follow any of this stuff.
I'm a real newscaster. I don't even know why I'm doing podcasting stuff with you. I'm out of here.
News.
This is one of those random happenings at Trundle Manor, how things just sort of come about. And we've got some very important guests in our lives.
Yes.
An older guest from our life and a newer guest. The older guest is Andrew the Impaled.
But the older guest is actually the younger guest.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
What a confusing thing. And our newer guest is Bernard, who's helping us with a business project that we're working on. So we've got two... factions of Trundle Manor that are very important to the entire aspect of what the hell we're doing with this place. And if you guys want to take turns and just say a little something about, because this is Trundle based, how you came about what we are, or how you came about this place.
Well, kind being immersed in the freak community in Pittsburgh, it was no surprise that I found myself with the Trundle folks down in the South Side judging the competition for the Pittsburgh Freak of the Year show, of which I was the host. And did my act every week, and by the end of it, you guys knew the act so well that you were able to recite my lines. I was able to just stand there and to go through the motions while you guys did it like a puppet. You guys recited my act. We've hit it up ever since, and I really love this place. And like I said, I was literally driving through the neighborhood kind of aimlessly, and then I realized, holy shit, I can go up to the Trundle Manor right now. And I took three turns, you know, and like, no, this is the right one. And I found it.
It's hard to miss Trundle.
It is, but there's a lot of streets, you know.
Too many streets.
Steve. A lot of streets that go different places that aren't this.
You know, you got here exactly at 8, we're like, oh, son of a bitch, was there a tour that we didn't book or like didn't write down? I'm like, do I need to like get dressed and turn on some lights right now? I was so glad it was you and not some stranger.
Or do we turn off the lights and pretend we're not here?
I was about to, yeah.
I'm still waiting for my tour.
You're gonna wait a little longer. That's what you get for showing up unannounced.
Yeah.
Here's a lesson to everybody listening right now. Do not show up unannounced. I will hate you intensely. Luckily, he's got a place in our heart, so it's fine.
So his beating was minimal.
Yeah.
In your heart.
You didn't have to hear that, so don't worry. I have to beat you in my heart.
How do you do air quotes on the radio?
You hold your fingers up and pretend everybody notices.
Yeah. Did you see that? Oh, I'm sorry. I take that back. That was rude.
What the other people don't know is that Trundle Manor's some of our main crew, which is Villy, part of the Trundle Manor crew.
Hello.
Velda and myself and Bernard were in the middle of a business meeting, so it was a little questionable whether I was going to answer the door or not. Andrew decided to grow a beard, so I didn't really recognize him.
He opens the door, and I'm standing there with my phone in my face because I'm like writing down the number on the chalkboard outside.
Sure.
I was like, okay, because I don't have your number on my phone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sitting there, and so I've got the like underlit, ghostlit old grizzly guy on your front porch, like in the beard. Like,
who the fuck is this?
And it was, and he just like, until I open my mouth, they're like, oh shit.
I think his words were, it's just one guy, I could take him if I have to.
Right. I'm sure he thought that. Yeah. Yeah. Take him, air quotes again.
and us and Bernard, and luckily Bernard is a nice enough guy to be okay with us stopping everything and doing a podcast.
It's not
instead.
Hurting him any, I'm sure.
I'm very, very happy about this. I never was on a podcast in my life. So
aww,
it's a good place to start.
Yeah, you can't say that anymore now. So this is Bernard. Say your last name because I don't remember.
Grandjars. In French, we would say Grandjac, but that's
Grandjac. But he's a lovely man that's helping us. A lovely fellow drunk that's helping us. That's helping us
with our business plan.
A huge business idea that Trundle Manor is working on, so look out for that, everybody. Bernard, if you wouldn't mind talking a little bit about yourself.
I love to work with you guys, so it's a good start. And I've been in Pittsburgh. I don't sound like a Pittsburgher, but I've been in Pittsburgh for 42 years, and I feel like I am really. And it's a beautiful place.
You've been in Pittsburgh longer than I have.
That's true. Wow, yeah, any of us combined.
And it's a great place, and I love it. And it's a lot of fun to work with you guys.
Yeah, we're very happy to have you. We were very nervous the first time meeting Bernard. I think that we expected a very stuffy and not Trundle-centric businessman. And we're quite happy to find somebody that had his own personal drink that he enjoyed.
The first guy that you met with appointed Bernard to our case, mm-hmm. And were you drunk in that first meeting? Did he say, let's give the guy that likes to drink to you guys?
No, strangely enough, I wasn't drunk during that.
Wow. But, I wasn't there for it, so I didn't know.
Well, Larry's not a bad guy.
No, Larry's a great guy.
He's okay.
Very sweet,
I like
him.
He's okay.
And as I said, we met him through the Pittsburgh Arts Council, and because they're actually a really good organization for for Pittsburgh artists, and I found out about them through Fat Man D, which is...
That's right.
Me and Andrew have a connection with her, and she's one of those Pittsburgh people that everybody kind of knows or should know, because she's been around and been in the arts for so long in Pittsburgh and been involved in it. And so I took her advice to heart, and I called the Pittsburgh Arts Council, and it's been nothing but amazing since I got in touch with them.
You think our birthday for that? That's when you guys talked about that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Billy and Velda's birthday was when I talked to Fat Mandy about that. So that was kind of faded to some extent, I suppose.
Should we talk about the business? I don't know if Andrew knows about what we're doing or if the audience knows.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the business. This was supposed to be a business meeting, so we'll talk a little bit about it. Why don't we do that? Trundle Manor has been working on a proposal to make a Trundle-centric and a very Pittsburgh-centric shop. The easiest way to say it, and I hesitate to talk this way, but the easiest way to say it is it's a little bit like Tech Shop. In the fact that we have tools that we're going to be doing a monthly fee towards. You can come in, be a part of our shop, and utilize the tools, utilize the equipment, and get some kind of knowledge about how to build what you want to build. We're trying to center more on the arts and the artisans of Pittsburgh, because I think that woodworking, metalworking, embroidery, upholstery even, is a very strong thing that Pittsburgh needs a place to be involved in. So we're trying to find a place for that. That's the most that I'm willing
that's
to talk just, about.
It's but... more like an open art studio, more so than a technology-based type endeavor. But yeah, we're hoping to get some hands-on people and maybe even people that want to start their own businesses that are art or craft-based can utilize us.
Yeah.
And we want to have art shows there and food truck events. And we're in a good location, so we have a lot of crazy things planned, because we always have crazy things planned.
We're Pittsburgh people for Pittsburgh artists.
Yes.
And we want to promote that. We want to be more a part of that. And we're not, unfortunately, we're not just about the business, which means that Trundle Manor still will never be a self-sustaining business.
Yeah. Needless to say, there's a lot of room for growth. Yeah. Look at you being an optimist. Good job. Good job. Oh, dear. Was that what that was? No, drink it away. Drink it away. Okay.
So, on the outsider's point of view, Andrew, this is what you walked in on. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I'm very excited about that, especially the idea of the taco truck outside there. Right? If I can walk off the street, give you an hour's worth of whatever, all right, and, you know, and go in and like, get on, like, the lathe and make myself a baseball bat.
Yes.
I would have a baseball bat once I only had a twig, you know?
At the end of the day,
and then I get the taco truck.
Yeah, you go home to your wife, and she said, what did you do today? I made a baseball bat, and I had some tacos. I had a great-ass day.
That's a productive person right there.
Yeah.
You go back as a freak somewhere, right?
Well, of course.
That night, yeah. Go back to whatever dark.
Maybe they bring. I would put a ball cap on and have my baseball bat. People would be like completely surprised. You know, Bernard was saying that he doesn't sound like a Pittsburgher. We can help that a little bit.
How
are you going to do that?
This is the wrong guy to be in the wrong room.
Try this. Say Jeet.
Jeet.
Yes. Jeet. Yet.
Jeet yet.
Now say it fast.
Jeet yet.
A little slower.
Jeet yet.
No, I haven't eaten yet. That's pretty good.
The Trundle cast is teaching Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Pittsburghese. You know? If you're in the city or south, you say yins. If you're on the north side or Allegheny City, you say yuns.
I like the air quotes there. It's good.
Yeah. Well, it's not Northside. It's Allegheny City, really. I mean, forget those guys. Come on. You say Dan. Dan.
Dan.
Tan.
Tan.
There we go. That's the center of our city. Dan, Tan. And it really doesn't matter how you speak, just as long as you give directions using landmarks that are no longer there. Right? Whenever you say, turn left at where the Isleys used to be. Then you're a Pittsburgher.
All right, that's a good tip.
But no, I'm really excited about this. This is like really great that you guys got hooked up with Bernard here. You know, who knows? You know, his end of business and, like, formulating plans and
that's
stuff
the
like
thing
that.
We don't know, so
and,
we're
like,
happy to have
you
him.
Guys, I know how it is to herd you cats. Literally, I know how it is. So
yeah, here's what happened. Andrew was the MC for this freak contest, yeah. And me and Anton counted as one judge. It was like a gong show type thing. If anybody even listening
but somehow
even gets
you guys
that
got
reference.
Twice, like four times the drinks.
We did.
Oh, definitely.
Each judge was supposed to have three free drinks per night from
yeah,
his bar.
Yeah, you guys got like 12 together. Yeah.
We did, and we would drink Long Island, so we got way too many.
We're Pittsburgh royalty, so we figure out
all
those
forgotten,
kind of
yeah.
things.
Right,
yeah,
right.
No, that's just the way that goes. But yeah, the freak contest, we ended up being...
Grandma's shirt.
Right. We ended up being quite terrible because to the people that were visiting the freak contest, everything was new. Andrew's act was new. Everything was new.
And we just heckled the living shit.
That was so great.
But we saw him every single Wednesday for, what, like 2 months in a row?
Weeks
something,
or something
like that.
Yeah.
Some
yeah.
insane amount of time.
13 weeks, yeah.
And by the very end, we recited it to such... I think that we recited your act to such...
Yeah, you guys
like,
had, it all,
perfect
had it all down.
To this
felt,
day.
We, it was great. We feel bad about it, but...
You shouldn't feel bad. It was true.
It was
there
fun.
Was nobody, there was nobody there to see it.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was just fun for us. To this day, every time somebody says the phrase, this is a thing,
yeah.
we repeat it 10,000 times because that was one of his lines.
But we, but we loved your act for that.
Yeah,
your
right.
act was funny.
No,
it made
felt,
us happy.
I felt the love, you know. Yeah. As you can see, I'm quite willing to love via abuse. And you have felt my abusive love yourself, so yeah. It's mutual.
I wasn't
yeah.
home that night.
Yeah. Well, you weren't awake.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Either way.
So I think we're going off the rails. I forgot what the hell we were talking about.
We're talking about how great it's going to be to use your lathe.
Oh, yes, my lathe. How wonderful. What was the catchphrase that you wanted us to put
oh,
the name of?
Oh, here's a lathe. Go nuts.
Yes.
The new name of the business, by the way. Everybody knows. But,
you make a left at where here's a lathe used to be. No, they moved to a bigger place.
Anyway. That was a Trundle break, as we like to call when we all take a drink because we can't think of anything to fucking say.
Yeah, well.
But
it's better than dead air.
It's always. Very much. Polly, you haven't said very much.
Polly, say things.
Polly, Billy,
drinking.
Part of the manor.
Polly's like our third, if there is such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Lush. I do what I can. I keep you guys well and truly intoxicated, so the rest of us don't have to deal with your real and true personalities.
Yeah.
So you know how to hurt these cats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just in a way. Don't let her know that, though, because then
don't
she'll
give her
hold
a
that
head.
Over me.
Oh, well.
Oh, yeah, she doesn't already have that.
No.
She's not already in complete control.
Well, they think it's Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah.
I love Stockholm.
You guys are great. Could you tighten these a little bit? I feel kind of chilly.
Not allowed to go to that therapist anymore. Anton told me she filled my head with all sorts of things.
Too many things. When I can't control you anymore, then you're going to the wrong person.
Right?
That's just the way that goes.
Now I'm going to this girl that's approved by Anton.
We just need to sign off on all your appointments. And...
Well, yes, I mean...
Who's Anton, by the way? I have no idea who this person is.
I don't know. Some guy signing off her appointments. You better get that shit checked
no
out.
No idea.
Oh, man, am I the only one who can see him?
Oh, sweetie, we just play along for your sake. He's like Harvey. Isn't he?
What?
Did you carry his hat and his coat?
Okay,
too?
Okay. So, so moving back to the business aspect, Bernard, do you think that we have a chance?
I do, because you guys do things like nobody else does. Uh-huh. And that's very important. You have to be different. You don't want to do things like the other people do. You know, and then you have to find people are crazy enough to work with you and enjoy what you're doing. And I think there are some around here somewhere. And that's what we have to look at.
We just have to dig them up out from under
yeah,
the rocks.
Yeah, find those yeah. people who really want to have a lot of fun and do good artistic work. And I think we're in pretty good shape.
When we first told you the idea, did it make some sort of a sense about what we were going for?
Well, when I first heard the idea, it was not all that clear what it was. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you. I didn't know exactly what you had. And I was not sure. I didn't know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I decided I would jump in and find out.
Well, that's the beauty of Bernard is he really jumped in with both feet.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, he's taken us under his wing, and he's, well, he's given us a confidence that we didn't have, because we're the three of us started out as the six of us?
But, yeah.
As the six of us. And we were all about the same age, and it was a little bit of an issue wondering if it was just some dumb, you know, dream that we were having that no one else would be able to understand. And I love the idea that we were able to bring you into it coldly, like straight from the beginning, and throw out the idea, and you know, you didn't immediately say, well, that's not going to work, let's do a different idea.
No, you legitimized it.
Mm-hmm. It made us feel like...
You don't know until you do it, you know. There's no way to know. You can't sit and say, you know, give me a prediction. Who knows?
Yeah.
But what I see is you guys are so dedicated and working so hard. You know the art community here around Pittsburgh. I think you have a pretty good chance to make it.
That means a lot to us.
Definitely.
Yeah. We don't know. We are not business-minded people at all.
Mm. What do you think, Andrew?
Well, people do need this. People do want, you know, I want to, like, learn how to weld. If I can spend $15, $20 to spend a half an hour, like, fucking around with somebody's welder.
That's not going to school for it. Then, like, that's awesome.
Yeah. Then, you know, I can do that. And the thing is, whenever you got a community like that, it's kind of like the Glass Center, where they've got the education stuff going on, they've got the hands-on thing,
mm-hmm.
and you've got a community surrounding this educational process that's, they're willing to, help, you know, so whenever right. you've got a problem, it's much easier than... Going to like rent a center and renting yourself a welder and dragging it home and learning how to set it up and figuring out what this rod does and that shit. And then you have nobody to talk to you, so you get to Google and you watch YouTube videos of assholes. Alright. This sounds like a really good idea. I mean, you guys have already talked about location?
We have a place in uptown that's right on Forbes. It's an old Corinthian church, Baptist church, and I know the realtor that
owns it. Wiley?
It's one of the last things on, is it Forbes?
Yeah, it is.
One of the last things on Forbes before you hit the bridge to the south side.
Oh, okay.
It's one of the last places on the left. It's an old church that's, now the windows are boarded up, but it's just big enough for this project to be a community. I mean, by community, I mean like, you know, inner community kind of a project, you know, not that we're, you know, against them, but it's a beautiful place, and it has a basement that's too low for anything, so we're thinking about doing all the sewing and sit-down stuff in the basement.
The baptizing.
Having the giant equipment in the main upstairs area, which is going to be all woodworking, metalworking equipment. I have a section that I want to make into a welding room so we can fireproof the whole area. Things like that. So,
I like that.
Yeah. So I have like this general, like I have a set idea. The problem is getting people to understand that it needs funded because it's just equipment. It's the initial funding. Like once that initial funding's done, then there's no telling what like good stuff that we can end up doing. Like there's what is essentially an aged out of foster care kids home that's going to be behind the place, and I'd like to get those kids involved. You know, community wise, I think that would be great to be able to add to the community that we can give them something to do that isn't like go work at McDonald's, go work at Home Depot, go work at this place. No, well, maybe make your own business by learning how to make furniture. You know, learn how to make a certain thing. You know,
that'd be great.
And you know, and that would be open to them. But you know, more than anything, the initial idea was, my parents have an art studio, and I've been able to use their equipment. And whatever you did just made a horrible noise. What is that?
It's a chair. Yeah.
Oh, it's on the mic. It's weird. Sorry. I'm getting existential and everyone's leaving. Oh, I feel bad. But, it, you know, the initial idea was my parents have this studio. I'm able to make everything that I ever wanted. If we don't have the tools, I can convince my dad to buy the tools because he's an artist too, and he wants to see cool things in the world. And I want to be that to other people. I want to be the dad. I want other people to tell me what they need as far as tools and find out how to get it. Because if they have an idea to use the tool, if it's usable, then why don't we have it? Why don't
they? Stained glass.
We talked about that.
You can make badass shit with stained glass. I've seen some really cool fucking weird shit that people do with stained glass.
His parents have it at their studio, and, so it's on our list, actually.
And being able to have access to that. You guys should check up with some of the other places that do something similar. They're not in like a direct competition because they're
that's
more specialized.
Western
art. That's sort of exactly what you're talking about when you said
on 16th Street, Southside, there's a glass studio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Guy rolls up his garage door and he's got this glass studio. He and his buddy a handful of kilns for curing and a handful of pots for fire pots or whatever they are. My kids went over and made these twisted flowers. They got to the guys would like heat up the glass, and then the kids could like grab these pliers and like work it and make it into a shape.
God, so whatever. So
they take it home. They have like I think we put it in the fish tank. The kids love it.
That's really cool.
But those guys have a thing going on that seems to be working out pretty well for them, and just because a lot of it comes down to you got a great idea for a need People do need this sort of thing. People would be hip to this sort of thing.
Yeah.
So the success of it, comes down to the minutiae and the point, the price points, stuff like that. A family is willing to do, or a person who's got a professional need.
The way that I'm, professional need. That's what I was thinking.
Mostly,
to me, the idea is
you want to appeal to hobbyists too, I think.
To a certain extent. Because I know there's more hobbyists, but I know that there's so many artists in Pittsburgh that don't make things because they can't afford the equipment.
We thought of like living in an apartment, too. Like, you can't do anything living.
You can't even
have
a drill
press. Laundry, let alone,
right. You can't paint the walls.
But what we talked about doing was... I lost it. I was concentrating on the fact that I'm losing battery life. Can you get my charger?
I will. You figure it out.
What the hell were we talking about?
I think you're talking about sense of scale.
That was the thing with the shop, and that's the problem with what we're doing is that we need enough money to pay for these big pieces of machinery, which is the same position that a lot of people are in, is that they can't afford these big pieces of machinery. But if we can get our collective assets together and make this an effective thing and be able to produce enough either grants or loans or funding or something that will get us this equipment that we can offer to the arts community. And we can offer it. What I want to do is I want to tell people that you can have your own job. You could be an entrepreneur if you had the right equipment. If you pay the small fee that we have to charge just to keep us on the streets, then you'll be able to just have a sustaining business. Roll that cost into, your business costs, as opposed to like rent. Because there are some places where you can like rent a giant piece of machinery, but you still need the place for it.
Right.
And you need the idea of how to use the thing. Again, what we want to do is we want to be able to make it so like you can just go into a giant shop that works.
And I think you need the community to support you at the same time.
If
you're all by yourself in a corner, it's very, very hard to get going.
Definitely, we're going to need the community backing to make to get this off the ground, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not about shunning the community. I mean, that's obviously not a thing that we're into.
No.
I'm afraid of using things like Kickstarter because there's so many people using that nowadays.
It's almost too saturated.
I just don't want to start with Kickstarter.
No, that'll be like a last resort if we can't get a grant from somewhere else.
I'd like to use, like if we did Kickstarter, I'd like to use that for a specific piece of machinery. Like if there's a bigger thing that we weren't able to initially afford.
Get our space a new blank.
That our members wanted.
Right. Yes.
We wanted to.
Yeah, if we had enough people that wanted
people
the thing. And I like to say that it's not completely altruistic, so the two things that I want to get out of this myself and why I'm working towards it, and I know a lot of people don't talk about these kind of things, but I think it's very important to say, is that I'd like to have a sustaining amount of money so I could concentrate on this project. That doesn't mean millions of dollars. That means, you know, maybe, you know, 25 grand a year. Like, it's not, I'm not looking for a lot of money. I'm just looking to sustain myself so I don't have to worry about other work. So I can put it all into this business. The other thing that people don't talk about is the fact that I want some sort of legacy, too. Like, I think the Trundle Manor and the people that are involved in it should be known that we started this project. And I think it's a legacy unto itself. And
it
I think
is.
That's very important.
Maybe we should explain now, too, because I think, I don't know if you even realize it, but I think a lot of the reason that you want to do this so badly is because of the way that you grew up. Mr. Arm, Anton's parents, have had an art studio since 1991 in Braddock, and they have so much equipment that they have, and they mostly, it's a religious art studio, so they do church interiors and iconography and statues. So many things with so many different types of machinery, so he has grown up on that, and we've made Trundle Manor because he had access to all those tools and machinery
as a
kid.
Talk a little bit about it.
Okay, I wasn't sure. But I think he wants everybody to have that opportunity, because people come here all the time and they say, how are you able to do this? And, you know, how did you have the talent to make all this? And, I mean, he has so many more resources than people I know that are weird, don't even have parents that understand them, let alone let them use their expensive machinery, so...
My big joke is that I'm doing this so I can just be a father to all of Pittsburgh.
Oh, great.
Not literally.
Not in a bad way. I'm not disciplining you. I'm just promoting you. That's all.
We'll all end up on the pole.
We talked about a lot of stuff, and we exacerbated a bunch of topics, and we got to meet some of the past and the present of Trundle Manor and the people that are helping us and are very involved in us that we love. So I want to thank you guys for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
A pleasure.
Yeah. And while Pauly, I'm sure, will be back at some point to yell over top of me.
Yeah, well, naturally.
Yeah.
What else would you have to bitch about?
Remember, Bernard, Dad has.
That's the
point. Yeah.
All right.
That's excellent.
And I want to thank you guys for your input and for your ideas and for your passion about whatever the hell is going on in Pittsburgh today. And
we don't leave our house, so we need other people's input.
Yeah.
Nice, thank you.
Hopefully we'll talk to you guys again. Yeah. How about that?
All right.
Very good.
Hello.
My voice is all shot for some reason.
I'm surprised mine isn't.
Weird high pitched laugh.
You do. It's cute.
Okay, we're picking this up from. When the hell did we record before?
Yesterday at some point. Yeah.
We're picking this up from a few days ago. Or yesterday, or something, and we just couldn't do the podcast. It became midnight, and that was the end of it.
I think we were both just cranky and tired of being awake.
Yeah, I kept getting mad.
But
now we're both a little hungover.
A little.
And Rachel still might. Damn it, I said your real name.
It's okay.
I'm so out of it. Should we start this again?
I'll start from the hungover part. What are you gonna say?
Mm. We'll start over.
Okay.
You know, I must say, I really like golden showers. I wish I'd saved that story for the podcast, actually.
Now we're back for the endings of this segment of the podcast, and we've got Vilhelmina here with us, Pauly.
Howdy, folks.
And, of course, Velda.
Hi.
And myself. Hi. So, we were just downstairs talking about the mission statement for our big endeavor, and it was a lot easier than we thought it was going to be.
Surprisingly.
Yeah. We got three pretty good ones.
Yeah, I don't know why people make such a big deal about
about homework. It took us 5 minutes. I mean,
yeah, shut
up, people, just do it. Yeah. Quit your bitching, kids.
Polly, what were you up to this week? Anything fun?
Well, I did a lot of working and made nearly $200 because of my boobs.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Way to use those boobs.
Now we finally got some drinks in our hands. I think that's the proper way to be and the proper way for us to do podcasts.
I think watching all that Trailer Park Boys today made me want to drink more and then want to never drink again.
Yeah. So what did you do all week, Polly? What was your week-long thing?
So I made it out to Gooski's.
Nice.
With a couple of my friends, you know, promising to have one beer. Naturally, one thing leads to another, and we end up back at my friend Phoebe's house, smoking cigars, drinking scotch, playing Cards Against Humanity.
Awesome.
Anywhere I'm allowed, I will smoke.
Sure.
But
I mean, if that's your thing, like, if I was told eating candy was illegal, of course I would do it in the alleyway every 3 minutes.
Fuck that.
Brings us around to the topic of Mr. Arm's new coat.
It's not that new, I just never wear it because I think it's goofy looking.
It's a leather tailcoat.
Mm. It is a leather tailcoat,
yeah.
Indeed.
But it's got pirate sleeves, and it's got these weird pointy tails, which...
And very pointy lapels. It's like a combination of pirate, greaser, and
goth.
And goth, I guess, yeah.
I got this because I thought it would be cool for, like, a Trundle Manor jacket.
Oh, it is.
Or an SSOA jacket.
You need to screen the back still.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's missing two things. A fishnet vest and assless chaps. The assless chaps I could provide. I have a pair.
We were just talking about blue moons, and next time we go.
Crap.
You got your office working.
Lord. Yeah. Oh, we're always looking for something new and something just for us at Trundle Manor. I think that's kind of our thing, our main goal, is finding things that are just for us. We have that old world decadence built into us. We just can't afford it, so it's kind of hilarious what we end up coming up with.
That's why I always say we are the hillbilly aristocrats.
Yeah,
so
it's
like,
a perfect term.
Yeah, the theory is that we drive limousines because the bottom fell out of the family fortune and we had to fire the drivers, so we have to drive ourselves around. And we can't afford to buy milk, so we have to drink our brandy from the 1920s from the special reserves. I can't buy new clothes. We can't afford heat, so I have to wear my grandmother's minx.
It's all very Grey Gardens around here.
Completely. We are Grey Gardens.
The tiny version of Grey Gardens.
Gigantic cat.
I can't tell if this is pate or giblets for the camp.
You know, I think they're showing that at the Hollywood soon. I'd like to go.
Ooh,
yes,
I'm there.
Let's see that.
Yeah,
let's do
look that up.
If anybody's listening to this and they know that the Grey Gardens is playing at the Hollywood, the Trundle crew might be there. Yes. So look for us. And, sit down and bother the hell out of us.
I might have to scarf on my head type outfit.
And we'll definitely have to have some kind of horrible thing that makes us as dippy as...
I'm sure it won't take much.
What's her name? The main
Little Edie. Wearing turbans.
Little Edie. Little Edie.
Yes.
Yeah.
we'll tell you in person that you can't sit with us. That wasn't on my mom's list of classics that she showed me when I was a kid. I didn't find Grey Gardens till I was an adult. But
I'm surprised. I feel like your mom would enjoy that for some reason. I don't know.
But for all those who don't know, my mom had this amazing system when I was growing up, back when video stores were still a thing. We'd go to the video store and she'd say, okay, Billy, you can rent 3 movies. But they all have to be in black and white, but they can be whatever you want.
Nice.
And
I love that.
Sweet. So I'd go to the black and white section, which was admittedly pretty generous. And that was the way I saw all the classics. Like, I've seen literally every single Alfred Hitchcock, even the shitty ones.
Like, I love your Hitchcock summer idea. I want to do that. I have so many of them on those 50 movie packs that are silent or early, and I just, yeah.
That's why I'd never had a boyfriend until high school, and I didn't go to school with him, so he didn't know I was.
That's why I didn't date in high school, because I was watching
14-year-old watching Alfred Hitchcock movies. Like, you're creepy.
Yeah, when I turned 16, I was supposed to have, like, some friends over. Everybody had those sweet 16 parties. You see that kind of shit on MTV, a lot of decadent shit. I had, I think, 2 friends that had agreed to come over, and they were both late, so I just sat in my room watching Vincent Price movies, and my mom finally came up, and she's like, it's okay if they don't show up. They did, but it was very little fanfare.
Your past is the most depressing thing that I could possibly listen to.
I wasn't
depressed.
I had a...
Yeah, I know, but that depresses me more that you...
That I enjoyed the breadcrumbs that I was thrown from life.
Yeah.
Like, take a note from Bob's Burgers. He loved that fighter plane that was actually a rusty spatula. Like,
everything that we do, I hope that it kind of makes up for...
Oh, it does.
Maybe your shittier past.
It does.
You didn't have a terrible past.
I just had a mostly boring past. Yeah. I'm escaping cultural boredom, really.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like you sat alone in an empty room, like...
shivering.
We did an interview.
With some nice cubes. Cup against the floor. We needed more water.
We did an interview with the artist that's going to be showing on April 18th. And she kept reiterating that she has no furniture. She's like,
she said eight times.
Was drawing on the floor because I have no furniture. And I said, I finally just said, I'll give you furniture if that's the issue. She goes, no, I like not having furniture. And yeah, that almost made me sadder, but that's okay. I keep thinking about this way to develop the coffin bed into an actual coffin bed so that it kind of lowers on top of us for the night.
We need to watch Dr. Fibes again, because the ending is exactly what you're talking about.
I know. I want to build
that bed. It's a double-decker coffin, and the top came down, and it looked like a coffee table or so, like a marble something. You couldn't even tell they were in it.
Yeah. I want to do that.
And I think they had a phone in there, and you can have a little cocktail set up.
Uh-huh. That's actually a thing. I saw that there are some people that make special beds for... You know, if you hear an intruder, you just hit a button and a thing closes.
It's like a panic bed.
A panic bed.
It's got, it's got a phone. It's got, external air intake. So it's not just like holes in the thing. It's got, I think it might even have water. Like, it's got a whole thing. It's definitely a panic thing.
I'm not going to lie. I would buy one of those for my roommate. Yeah? I would do that. If I had the money, I would buy one of those for my roommate. Okay, the first couple of nights we spent at our new apartment, I was still at my old place for a couple of nights, and she slept on the couch because she was afraid of sleeping. She sleeps on the third floor by herself. So, I'm on the second floor where the bathroom is.
Yay. Yay.
But, no, she slept on the couch because she was, afraid of sleeping on the third floor by herself.
Yeah.
She's a very paranoid lady.
Yikes.
And, I would buy one of those for her and be like, here, now you can sleep in your own bed. Rest easy in your metal cocoon.
Just have to hit the button. We booked a private sex toy party.
Oh, yeah.
Fun.
It's one of those Tupperware parties,
but for dildos.
Yeah.
Oh, outstanding. I haven't been to one of those in years.
They're going to have a drag queen host it, too, and you don't remember what the name is.
No, I didn't recognize it. So yeah. I didn't know.
Oh, phenomenal.
But it's the ladies that did our corset party, so they want to have a
special thing. Remember when they all came up thing. With their corsets? Yeah, it's going to be them.
Oh, outstanding. I'm there.
I don't think they booked a date yet, but I'll let you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of things coming up, a lot of parties. Between his birthday party and that, the art show, movie night's coming up soon, Rod's having a party, and then them. It's just, insanity.
And we got to start planning for a Mermaid Day parade.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So many things going on.
It's going to be a full summer.
It already is. It's so fucking cold outside.
When winter comes along, I say, oh, I'm going to work at Toronto Manor. I've got all these projects that I could do since we can't go anywhere. We don't have to book anything. But then I don't do them because I'm miserable and tired and cold.
Depressed and
I can't go into the basement because it's freezing. So.
And you're just terrible. I'm cold and there are wolves after me.
So tell us what your plans are for the Mermaid Day thing. Do you have any ideas you want to do for it?
If we can finagle it, we should try and figure out how to transport Trixie if we can afford it, because that would go over splendidly.
Isn't it super expensive to get a car in there or something?
Yeah, but God, it would be phenomenal advertising.
Yeah, I forget what the pricing is. I looked at it.
Yeah, no, I did.
Well, they said if you're using it for a business, but we're not registered as a business, and it's just written on the side of the truck. It's not like a sticker on the side of my truck.
But then again, the fee goes toward the furthering of the parade.
I don't. I care to some extent. Only if we're able to afford it by that time, that's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's June?
We're not, whatever.
June. Okay. Yeah, June. Like, late June. I believe. But
we're also going to have to afford shopping in New York, because I know we're not going to go there and not buy things.
Yeah, right.
We saved up for so long to go the last time, or, at least had a little bit of money. We both got $300 leather jackets.
Yeah.
We're not...
We got completely screwed right after that, but it was fine. We got over it. It's all good. We always end up getting what we want.
We land on our feet.
Yeah.
Like a cat.
There's that simple luck. Like, I have the big luck. My little luck is kind of shit, but, the big luck withholds, which means that I'll be stable for a good amount of time.
Stable.
What?
You being stable in any way.
Oh.
Because
I'm
rampagingly insane.
I'm constantly on the verge of madness.
Yeah. Campaign of terror.
Aw.
When we started dating, I couldn't stop giggling at the random times.
Your evil laughter.
Yeah.
It was great.
It wasn't a put-on, it just kept happening.
Mr. Armin Love.
I was wondering what it was, because I haven't heard that in a while, and I like your evil laughter that's unstoppable.
Yeah. Well, you haven't, cried of happiness in a while either.
It's true,
so,
I was a crier.
You know, we move on, we get comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sad. So I was telling people to... We never did a full interview with Polly, so maybe I'll just do this now.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I was telling people to send in stories, both unusual and unnatural, to trundlecast@trundlemanor.com.
Oh, fuck.
And, just asking people to give us... maybe one of your experiences at Trundle Manor, or something that solidified us in your brain.
Ooh.
What do you have for us?
Oh, well, there was the first time we ever hung out. I think it was. We were preparing to go to Westmoreland, and I think, I came over in the morning.
Oh, Westmoreland.
And, oh, my God, that's a whole other great story.
Westmoreland?
Yeah, Westmoreland County Arts Festival.
Oh,
it was 9,000 degrees.
Where that Amish kid kept walking past us and staring, and then looking down.
Oh, the mother was hiding their eyes.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah.
I wanted that to be so much fun.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's fun in retrospect.
Yeah.
It wasn't. No.
It's fun because it isn't happening to me right now.
Oh,
it was fun because we were plastered half the time. But yeah.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Anyway.
Oh well, that morning. You were talking about a recent friend who you'd sort of fallen out with, and you were like, "Billy, you're new to the manor. What's your assessment of why I can't keep a hold of some of these people?" And I looked at him, looking up and down, and said, "Well, the fact that you're a raging megalomaniac can't help."
That's pretty succinct, yeah.
And I thought, oh shit, I just met this guy. I don't know from Adam, but I'm usually pretty good at smelling people's general demeanors. And he sort of paused for a second and was like, "Yeah, that sounds about right." And we've been best friends ever since.
Yeah. Well, I have to own my megalomania. It's what helps me do shit like this horrible podcast.
Yeah, it's true. It would destroy you otherwise.
Right. You'd just be curled up in a ball every time somebody walked away from us. Which would be every time, always.
Spend
forever.
A lot of time in a ball.
I'd be in a ball quite often. Total Manor loses people quite often, but... As I said on, I think, some previous portion of this podcast, we can't get rid of Polly. She just stays around forever. No matter how hard I try.
But if you were in a ball
all
the time...
It's like an experiment.
I would absolutely... I would buy you a gigantic hamster ball, and I would just roll you around the house in it. Because I would get very tired of dragging you places very quickly.
You'd slide up the side and just sort of thud back down.
Yeah.
You'd shove him down the stairs, and you'd just go... Boom.
I did see the largest hamster ball that I've ever seen
at
the pet shop yesterday, and thought, I wonder if I could shove the cat in it, because he likes being in things.
He loves being in
things. But he doesn't want to have to move.
I think it would still be a tight spot, so who knows?
You know?
It was $23, and I wanted to buy it just to shove little devil into this ball, or at least attempt it. Maybe we should, and then we can return it if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
When it's tour time, we can just put him in there and just roll him out for people.
Oh, and here's our cat.
Here's our cat ball.
Across the floor.
He's like the bubble boy.
Oh, bubble cat.
Bubble cat.
Only it's more for our enjoyment and less for his, problems with his immune system.
Oh, yeah, no, he's not got AIDS or anything. We're sadistic people, that's all.
Hypochondriac cat.
So people that
people
that you've brought to Trundle Manor, what do they tell you in private? I've never asked you that after you leave this place.
Oh, wow.
That's a good question.
Let's see.
What do you feel comfortable telling us that they told you in private?
Let's see. Oh, the one I got a lot was, I was expecting the taxidermy to smell bad, but it didn't. It just smells sort of dusty.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, that I get a lot. Definitely.
Yeah. I worry a lot about the smells at Trundle Manor because it's a lot of shit in jars. We have a cat that poops and pees.
Right.
We have, all that stuff. And
I always ask people what we smell like. And mostly they say we smell like antiques.
Yeah.
Which I'm totally fine with.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, the smell of age, definitely.
Yeah.
The wretched stench of age.
Wretched stench of age.
Smells like you have 18 cats that just shit and piss all over the floor constantly.
Well, only when he eats Indian food.
But, you know, Indian food and rotten meat. That's what it smells like in here.
Oh, great.
That might sound good for a movie, but not when you're a tourist attraction.
Oh, that? And it looked a lot bigger on the internet. I definitely get that.
Well, he took the panoramic photos and stuff. Yeah.
His panoramic photos are definitely, like, are definitely dynamite. It definitely looks bigger in pictures.
Huh.
When you get in here, it's like, oh, that's God, great. The walls are caving in.
Yeah. Yeah, well, when I first bought the house, I thought, oh, this place is so big. It's like the biggest house ever. And then I started filling it full of our stuff and putting cases in front of all the windows.
Oh, yeah.
It fills up pretty quick.
Yeah, it gets really small really fast.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you have gone to great lengths to make sure there's absolutely zero natural light anywhere on the first floor.
Like, hey, it's all about lighting in the movies.
That's like my favorite thing is to come in from a sunny day and go in the dining room and realize that there's absolutely no light penetrating whatsoever. And know that, you know, if I were undead or something, I could just sleep in the center of that room unprotected and be so safe.
Yeah.
Come on over, vampires. We're totally safe.
We have a guest coffin and we have absolutely no natural light. And a cat.
It's
I hear
perfect.
You guys like cats.
Do you like cats? Do you hate light? Do you like the smell of an old antique store? Well, visit Trundle Manor. You'll get all of your dreams coming true in one place.
Well, you do realize that we've just literally invited them in on a public thing that anybody in the world can listen to, so...
What, vampires?
Well, shit. Yeah.
Do you really think I'm worried about vampires?
I don't want to hear the door.
You know, if they don't...
They don't need doors.
If they don't accept us with open wings, then they're not my kind of vampires.
That's so true. Yeah. Then we're just a failure at that point. Right?
Then I do have stakes of both steel, iron, and wood, so... We're good.
Why would you kill people that would so happily be your friends?
Only if they won't be our friends.
Oh, okay.
That's
right.
What I'm saying. If they won't accept us.
Same thing you say to everyone, be my friend or I'll kill you.
Yes.
Yeah. Fair enough.
It's not like I haven't said that in the past.
Why do you think I can't leave? Help me!
you didn't hear that, folks.
Well, I'm going to be cutting that out. It's a podcast. It's not live. I can cut that out. That's fine. Say whatever you want. I'm just going to beat
scream
you harder next time.
Like,
that's fine.
Da.
Does not help you. Just helps you getting beaten more.
If you must.
if you really want to. Oh, I bought the wood for that little girl's peg leg.
I saw that!
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
So that was like the first step, and I couldn't get into it until I found the right wood, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I can't even draw it because I don't have the pieces, you know?
Yeah, it's gotta be, you want it to be nice and sturdy.
I think I'm gonna have it, you know, with all thread through the middle and, you know, a good solid foot on the bottom that can be replaceable rubber so it's not slippery. And like, I have this whole thing in my head because... I'm hoping that she'll want to use this constantly, you know, because she walked really well.
Oh, yeah. No, she's clearly the kind of badass who wants to get out there and say, I have a peg leg. Look at it. Look at me.
Actual,
I'm awesome.
Real peg leg. Jamie's going to be so jealous.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Have you told him
yet?
Can't
wait.
I'm sure I told him. I'm sure that he just glazed over the fact that I was doing that too.
Yeah, our friend Jamie is a professional pirate.
He's a megalomaniac too, but that not self-aware megalomania.
Mm.
Like, I'm aware of it. I know I have it, and I use that to thrive, but I don't think if we even told him, he wouldn't be aware of it.
You'd have to Google it.
Yeah. I love Jamie, but you know. Fuck, it's hard to have two megalomaniacs
in
one room.
It's
so tough.
Yeah, right?
Constantly battling to not hit each other in the face.
Occasionally, we all feel the need to leave the room and just sort of let your dicks fill the room. It's like, there's no more room for us in here.
There's
it's
too
just
much
full of
dick in here.
Excuse me while I whip this out. But I think the idea is going to be great. I'm going to do the top out of this redwood. It's hard to tell in the pictures, but it's like this red wood that's got a beautiful grain, and then the bottom one is sort of an ashen color, and I want to put a bronze escutcheon in the middle that I think is going to be like a bronze collar with those big brass screws going all the way around it.
Fantastic.
And then it'll have a dark leather cuff for her stump. That's
going to
be so cool. I got to get lots of pictures. I think you know what I was thinking? Because, like, I hate taking pictures of things that I do because it makes, I don't know, it makes it tedious for me. So maybe I'll just call Jimmy Z and I'll be like, hey, dude, do you want to just do some, try out some product shots, see if you could do them?
Oh, yeah. Of the finished product and her wearing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, we should do like, if she,
what if we got her on the swing?
You took
right,
right out of
right?
my mouth. If she's into
I
it,
I saw it in your
do
head.
Like a
yeah.
modeling shoot. Oh, that
yes.
would be
dynamite. I think she would love that.
I think her parents would be
she
cool
is.
With
she's
it
so
too.
Badass.
Yeah.
And she has historical kind of costumes. I mean, she came over with like a corset.
Oh,
and
yeah. When we well, that's, met her at, yeah. At the.
Oh, right.
At the
yeah.
fair.
Like, oh, that's why, like, I went up to her because the fact that, you know, she was a very normal and she had a peg leg. And I thought, this girl's got some kind of chutzpah, some confidence in her. You know,
sure.
how cool
yeah.
is that?
We
I
saw
love
her
people
past,
like that.
Boy, look at that girl move. I can't move like that.
Yeah.
yeah.
I'd love to get her to know her better. She's definitely.
She ought to be a fan of the manor. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think, like, she's kind of young. I kept trying to find ways to get her to find a way to just get here so that we could talk more about the leg. I was hoping she'd be more involved in it. But I haven't really heard from her too much.
Yeah, well, she's young. She's got
I know.
Priorities.
And yeah, things, and her parents are cool, too. Like, they seem happy about it. And
yes.
They're very involved in her life. And,
good.
And they're a very happy family. So
yeah, they said that she was going to celebrate her ampuversary. I think they called it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It was only off for not even a year when we saw her.
Yeah, it was like December or something.
So that was a pretty good thing. Polly, thank you for joining us for the end of this
thank
podcast.
You.
Or middle. I can't remember where I'm going to put this.
Anytime, my loves.
Yeah. And we will obviously see you again very soon.
Oh, again, can't get rid of me.
Yeah.
You smiled at me and I fell. It's wild, it's silly, it's well. I'm like a leaping gazelle today.
Here we are for the second half of Velda's Movie Trivia Vault, where I will answer the question that I asked before. And the question is, to recap, which silent movie features a street gang of Civil War veterans trying to stop a greedy streetcar company from running the last horse-drawn cab service out of business? And the answer is Speedy from 1928, starring Harold Lloyd. The extras probably were Civil War veterans at that time, and in the story, if the horse-drawn cab didn't run at least once a day, they legally couldn't stay in business, so the streetcar people kidnapped the horse and held it hostage overnight. Now, in reality, Pittsburgh used to have streetcars all over the city, connecting most of the communities together, and it's actually how Kennywood became famous. It was a trolley stop. In the 60s, the bus companies did team up with greedy oil companies to stop streetcars, much in the same way of this story.
Well, that's the end of this week's Trundlecast. This week's cover art is from Kayla's Arcane, otherwise known as Dr. Freaky. Thank you, Doctor, for your addition. I hope you enjoyed our guests and the dulcet tones of the manor. We had some drinks, some friends, and some trivia. Tune in a week for the next episode, and while you're waiting, visit TrundleManor.com, where you'll be able to see a list of all of our future events, like gallery shows and movie nights, or book a tour and experience the manor all by yourself. Be sure to peruse our videos and photo pages to get a glimpse into the lives of its inhabitants. And you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr just by typing Trundle Manor into their search boxes. Don't forget to send your stories of Trundle Manor, both unusual and unnatural, to the Trundlecast at trundlemanor.com. We may even read them right here. Now cut off your ear and stick it in a jar, because it's useless until we talk to you again on the next Trundlecast.
Oh, Lord, take me away from the river, the old river that flows by my door. Oh, sir, sever my bonds and deliver my soul away from the swampy land. The storm rages around my low cabin. No harm
stand before me when I'm high. Oh, Lord, take me away from the river. The old river that flows by my door.